Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International. And today we'll be talking about recovering from mistakes and poor performances and, you know, failures, anything where it's something that's a disappointment. And also, you know, take your questions with anything that you'd like. And welcome Dave and other people that are listening in here too with from our PECI program. You know, we do the calls every second and fourth Thursday of the month and doing these for the last 10 years now, I think it's been at least. And so this one, our next one will be on, let's see, today is the 22nd, and then the next one would be May the 13th. We happen to have a fourth Thursday of the month at the end of April here, the 29th, so I might do another call then, since there's a fifth Thursday, so it's not so far in between. So I'll let you know if I can do that, and then also on the May the 13th would be the next one also. So probably the 29th I could do one also there. So, yeah, today we want to talk about mistakes and recovering from those and, you know, what kinds of pressures lead to big mistakes. Talk about different categories of types of errors and mistakes people make and warning signs to look for in your athletes, indicating that anxiety that could lead to poor performances, and how mistakes become overblown and magnified in our minds, and and then how we can rethink mistakes and mess ups to become learning experiences. Some people say there's no bad mistakes, just just learning, and sometimes the greatest learning, of course, comes from failure or bad performances. And then, let's say learning a routine after the bad shot routine. A lot of golfers do that, or after something bad happens, have a routine of some sort, and creating a after the good shot routine as well. You know, when something good happens, how can we reinforce that and celebrate it? And then addressing the mental health and insecurities of athletes that comes with making mistakes or poor performances, and reducing the pressure. Talk about increasing the enjoyment, the fun factor in sports, which so many athletes lose that with competitiveness, and helping your athletes to confidence to perform under pressure, and then just any concern of sports parents too are a big part of the picture. Can be very supportive, but also induce a lot of pressure and can actually lead to the bad mistakes sometimes. So that's a good one to talk about as well. So Dave, I think thank you for giving us a case study here to talk about. So that's great. I'll just make a few opening comments here, and then we can go into your case study, and I can give you some studies as well with things that I've discovered with different athletes in various sports, and just talk about the different things that can happen. I think that so many times mistakes can come from when one mistake happens, then something else happens after that. It can lead to a downward spiral, and so you want to be able to recover from those quickly. Some of the things that come up are being able to some of the reasons that people make mistakes, of course, are not being ready, not being prepared, trying to make up for something else, or not. Sometimes it can be, you know, not getting enough sleep the night before, or just not being aware. Sometimes it's celebrating too soon, you know, thinking that you've got the game won or the race won. And so some of the things that I wanted to talk about, often the athletes separate, or often their identity, whole identity, is tied up with each and every performance, or, you know, and type and mini performance within that. And so what you want to help athletes to do, I think, is to separate your score or your race time from your ego. And think of a lot of the top world players have had disastrous performances, but they didn't let the performance define them, and you can quickly move on from that. Some of the things that I've been working with a couple of golf players, and they have a difficult time with when they have a bad shot. It's just a lot of berating and saying, this is not happening, this is not good, and having saying you deserve to die, you know, saying those kind of things to themselves, saying this is ridiculous, I should have never hit that shot, and just can't let it go. And you want to be able to have an escape from the game, I think, or escape from your at least a little mental vacation. So come up, I think one of the things you can do is with athletes is have athlete go someplace in your head where you feel, when you're feeling overwhelmed. So, for instance, as having my golf athlete look in between the shot, or with runners, you could have them do this right before the race starts, to look up at the sky, look far away, and just that it allows your mind to relax and kind of take a break from what just happened before and be able to move right into, and then to be able to come back. Think of it like a balance, a scale, balance scale, where the pendulum swings to the right toward peak performance, and then it needs to swing back toward the left to for full recovery in order to relax, to rest, even if that's just 30 seconds or a few seconds in between, be able to come back and then be able to swing to the right again to have another good performance. And if you have a mistake, you still need to be able to have the pendulum swing back to the left for recovery and rest, and just being able to get away from what just happened. So one way to do that is to, you know, stare up at the sky. I'm doing that right now as I'm talking with all of you. To, you know, just it allows your mind to rest and your eyes to rest, and just to feel good, and not to think. It's great to be able to just not think of anything for a few moments, to let your mind wander. And what that does is takes your mind into what's called the default mode network, and we'll talk about that maybe on our next call too. I've talked about that on some of the past calls, where when you're just staring off into space and not looking at a phone, not having earbuds in, not having any other input, then it allows your mind to relax and to process what's the things that have happened, and to reflect, but in a non-judgmental way, and just be able to reset, especially from a mistake that's just happened or a bad performance. It allows you to just clear your mind, almost like, or you can imagine yourself at a beach and watching the ocean waves, and with the wave going out to sea, it just kind of clears out what just happened. So being able to do that is a really nice way to be able to let go. And some other techniques are, of course, to be, you know, to think about a friendship and what you would say to a friend who had a mistake or something that was in that situation. You might say, you can't do anything about what just happened, that shot, that hole, that performance. Just stick to your routine and play conservatively, and you'll start playing well again. You know, just the way you would encourage someone else. Have your athlete encourage themselves that way. Use those same words for yourself. And one thing that athletes try to do is, after a mistake, is they try to do a miraculous recovery shot or performance, they try to overdo it on the next part to make up for the bad mistake, and usually that leads to a snowball of even bigger problems. So it's better just to go back to, you know, basics, I think. Do some breathing, nice deep breathing, and just get, you know, just let go of that negative energy to be able to calm down and realize you can't change what just happened, but you can change. You can just be in the moment, be able to stick to your process, whatever that is, and to get you back into the comfort zone. So, I've got lots of other tips here as well. Just staying in the present, I think, is important, and being able to reframe your attitude. Try to recall, I tell people to try to keep a logbook of positive performance logbook, you know, something that where you have, where you just log the things that went well for you, that you were pleased with, you know, even practices each day, things that did go well, and things that you are happy with, and then rather than writing all the mistakes, those are the things that tend to stay in our minds, but we want to write down, have a positive performance logbook, so you have those, you magnify those memories in your mind, and then it'll reinforce those things and what you did to get there. So be able to recall those good performances, and any quality performances you've had recently, be able to do that and just stay, and then just staying in the present. You know, I talk about the three P's, positive images, power words, present focus, and being able to stay, have that present focus and understand that you can play and perform the best when you're solely focused on, you know, just this shot, just this run, just this moment, just this step, saying that phrase to yourself, just this. And then you fill in the blank, depending on whatever the thing is. So those are some first remarks I want to make. And I know, Dave, you had an example of an athlete you're working with, a case study. And so do you want to share that, just a little bit about that person and what you're doing with them?
Sure. So this is a new client to me. I've spoken to her just briefly just to engage and get things going. And she's a 62-year-old retiree. She's female, and she plays in a pickleball league, which is highly competitive.
Can you tell people, I know what pickleball is, but can you explain what that game is
for
might not know?
So pickleball is played on a smaller court. It's played on a tennis court, but smaller. It's cut. The lines are cut down, and it's played with a paddle and kind of a lighter type of wiffle ball. And usually they play doubles. There is singles.
Or it's kind of like tennis, too, is it?
Yes, yeah, just like tennis. But yeah. There's rules about kind of stepping into the fault zone, kind of right up near the net. There's a national championship for it. It's a big deal. It's on ESPN. But it's huge in the retirement communities. And so I know about it because my uncle runs a league and I played in it before. And it's no joke. It is serious business. Even the retirees like really go after it. So when she was telling me about her experience of playing in this league and how, her first message to me was, I think I've stumbled over some kind of childhood thing where I'm beating myself up and I'm not playing my best, even though I believe I'm just as capable physically and I've done all the preparation. Mentally, I'm breaking down. And, you know, recently she's, you know, just before this session we're going to do today, she sent me this message, which I shared with you, Dr. Joanne, about how she was up all night kind of perseverating, just like obsessing over the mistakes she made and the things she was saying to herself, kind of the automatic thoughts and kind of just the downward spiral she was on, all of her own doing, and questioning, why am I doing this to myself? You know, why do I suck? And then the worst part, I think, for her was it's crept out during the games, where she said, well, I suck, you know, what am I doing? I'm the worst player ever. So now other people don't want to play with her, or they try to kind of avoid her, I guess. That's what her report is. But you know, she went and pulled herself out of one league completely and kind of made a big deal because she played bad. So there's just a lot of questioning and negativity about her play, which she is asking. Well, I think what she's asking of me is to figure out why she is doing this to herself. There's a lot of why questions. So that's kind of my question for you, Dr. Joanne, is, you know, I've done a lot of CBT, kind of behavioral therapy, but I also know that, you know, we're applying this to a very specific, like, set of events and a community that she's going to be part of. So, you know, I want to give her good guidance, and I kind of want to figure out at least where we should start. Should we go after the core beliefs, kind of like where this is coming from, what the root of it is, or where I'd like to say is kind of more in the present, like some of the skills that we've been talking about on the calls. So that's kind of it in a nutshell for now.
Yeah. Is she, have you met with her yet?
No. I've spoken to her for about 15 minutes just to engage and set the first appointment.
Uh-huh. Great. Yeah, it sounds like a really good... Okay, so 62 years old, you said?
Yeah.
And, yeah, she's playing this in a retirement community. You know, maybe does she live there in sort of a 50-plus older group there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably concerned about her at this point about her reputation in the community. I would think, that would be difficult because you're living with these people and playing with them and having to see them every day kind of thing.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So get her, ask about, good questions to ask her, what are your concerns, I guess, asking why did you choose pickleball as a sport? Is it something that she played before, or is it something new, or did she play tennis before, or that kind of thing? Asking that, and so to try to get at what attracted her initially to this sport. Is it a new sport to her, kind of thing? I don't know. Go ahead.
I think her piece is that she believes she's as good, if not better, than most of the people she's playing with. But when she gets out there, you know, if she hits a bad shot, she just starts going down the tank. And she used the word, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy that I'm going to start doing bad. And then she just gets worse and worse. Even though she believes and, you know, has the capability of playing so much better and winning, which just seems to be just a kind of a mental piece that I just kind of want to put this out there. The idea of like, oh, Dave will help me figure it out and motivate me to do this. And I'm kind of reframing that as, you know, you're going to take on these skills, you know, learn how to use them, and then you'll have the discipline in the moment to use them. Because, you know, you can find motivation from different places. But in my mind, if you are tanking during the game, is that a matter of motivation or discipline? Like, what do you think, Dr. Joanne?
Is she shaking?
She's tanking. She's just like completely just going downhill during the game, not doing well. And she's making. That's the thing. Can we figure out if it's a decision that she's making just to tank and go down and down, right, just down the ladder? Can she control herself, like using some CBT skills and awareness? Because I kind of pinged her on it a little bit during the first call. Like, you know, what would it look like for you to make a decision to kind of like, yeah, I'm aware that this is happening, and to make a decision to do something different. And maybe it took her back a little bit. Like, well, I don't feel like I have the power to do that is kind of what she said. Like, she didn't feel like she could emotionally control herself.
Yeah. It's a interesting. I think first it's good to normalize it, that we all have those times when we make mistakes and we end up tanking and, you know, using her terms kind of thing and becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy. And like golfers that I'm working with now, God, they do that all the time, just one bad shot, and then they go down the hill and say, oh, God, this is the way things are going, then I know it's going to get worse kind of thing. You know, like the first shot is, or the first mistake is an indication or can determine the whole game, but it's the your attitude that really makes it's not what happens, it's the attitude about what happens to be able to reframe it. I would first and ask her about her history with sports and other things that she's done before, and try to identify a peak performance or several peak performances that she's had before, good experiences when she's done really well, and what contributed to those. What her and kind of get her back in touch with her good skills. She must be probably a good athlete, and you know, be able to see what it is that she's good at. You know, ask about her strengths. I think it's always good to start on a positive note, kind of thing. I mean, listen to what her issues are, but then also give a sense of that first session, especially give a sense of hope that we can build on your strengths, and ask what her best performances are, best achievements, and what she's proud of, what she's done well in her life, both with sports and maybe with other things, with career or family, and build on those kinds of things. What makes her a good athlete? She must think that she's a good athlete, you know, down deep inside. That's always a good question. What makes you a good athlete? And then talk about, you know, all the great athletes that have had really bad performances, and how how to be able to bounce back, to be able to say, okay, it's that have something, you know. I think your question, Dave, about, you know, what do you talk about for core beliefs or talk about the present, I think both are good, to see what she responds to there. But saying that it giving a sense of hope that, you know, our thoughts lead to our, you know, just like CBT, kind of, which is, for those other people on the call that might not know what that is, cognitive behavioral therapy, you know, talking about thoughts leading to our emotions that lead to our actions. And sometimes it's okay to just take a break, a little mental break, and be able to say, let's see, I'm not sure, how does pickleball work? Are there, are they short games like in tennis with a 16 points or 21 points or something?
They're usually short points. It's like three or four hits and then a smash, right? It's almost like badminton, like where there's like three or four hits and then someone tries to smash it. So it's very competitive. And, you know, since like her piece is she's got a teammate, right? And so they always play doubles. So the teammate piece, I think, is throwing her a little bit. And, you know, when someone is saying, I suck, I couldn't hit my way out of the barn, like these are things she said out loud in front of like three other people during the match, maybe others. That's sending a message, right? Like, I am not able to manage my emotions right now. And she's really in conflict about it. She does not like this part of herself on display like that. But yet she feels she feels powerless to stop it at times. That's what she's basically kind of asserting.
Yeah. So, it's a I think those thoughts go through our minds, and if you say them out loud, that kind of accentuates the power of it, makes it even worse, and can let other people, yeah, can it really be a, kind of a downer on the whole, you know, the whole game, the other people there. So one thought is to, well, first, yeah, see where that comes from and ask her about her past and what situations she's been in before, if there have been parents or coaches that have told her that she sucks, kind of thing, and so given her those words, and what is that kind of, maybe things that she hasn't been able to work out with other things in the past that are coming out now. Like she said, things from her childhood are coming up, right? So, you know, we're not necessarily doing heavy psychotherapy with sports psychology coaching, but but we can still ask about childhood things from the childhood, her childhood, that relate to what's going on now, and ask, is there, you know, for instance, with a past coach or a past parent that maybe gave her those negative messages, you could ask, do a role play and say, what would you, if you could talk to that person now, what would you like to say to them, to be able to get have verbalize that that, you know, she that she is okay, and or say that, you know, when you maybe say to a parent in the past, when you say those things to me, it just, yeah, it makes me feel like I'm not capable, but I am capable, and I can do this, and be able to assert herself and say something positive, even if the parent is not there, be able to kind of role play with you what she would like to say. That's one really good technique, I think, and yeah, being able to just, she may not have been able to ever talk about, you know, her things in her childhood that, you know, where she was not, she, you know, people made her feel like she wasn't good enough. And so sometimes it just making the connection there with something in the past that can really lead to a breakthrough. Because then if you can talk about the times when she has been good enough, when she's performed well, you can, you know, kind of, it's like doing reality testing and showing you are a really good athlete here, and that kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. That's good stuff. Yeah.
I was thinking, like a bad, like just like golfers do, they have a bad, after the bad shot routine, and after the good, and then I can encourage them to also have a after the good shot routine. So have after bad shot routine, say, what kinds of things can you, what could you do after a bad shot to be able to recover from that? You know, ask her that. Do you have, I'll give you some suggestions. Well, some of the things I was talking about before, you know, being able to breathe and let go, but, or do you have ideas what you could ask her to do after a bad shot, after a mistake?
So, like, when I think about, like, volleyball players and people, like, if there's, even if there's a bad shot, they come and they reset together and they kind of give each other, like, a positive affirmation or a little chant or whatever, like a little cheer. And so since she talks to herself and she has a lot of automatic thoughts, you know, just kind of borrowing from theories I know, just replacing those statements with positive statements, right? Like, you got this, right? It's funny how she uses the I statement, like, I suck, I couldn't, right? But if I ask her to replace those thought statements, I wonder if they'll still be like I statements or you. Will she see it as part of herself, or will she kind of see it from the outside? So I really want her to be affirming herself, like, in that moment, like, I got this, right? I've been here before,
yeah.
Right? It's just one shot, right? So, and that will send a message to others too, that you know, she's disciplined with her game and in control, because just the conflict she's in over it is, you know, it's off-putting, because she's up all night. She's, like, really struggling. So feels a little deeper sometimes than, you know, kind of like the skill building piece. But I feel like she can actually take on this stuff and change the meaning of a bad shot by reframing it in her head. Like, it's just one shot. I'll recover this time. Onward, upward, you know, just let's go. So I think if I can give her those statements, she'll be in better shape.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I think it's a reframe it and say it's and maybe realize that, hey, I'm not making a living at this. I'm not losing $1 million or thousands of dollars from losing this shot like professional athletes. It's just a game. No big deal. And yeah, being able to just say, laugh a little bit, and then say, be able to work with. It sounds like she's kind of just going off on her own, and but she's got a teammate she's working with. So kind of, how can you, how could she work with her teammate there, and make an agreement? You know, if either one of them makes a bad shot, that they both come together, and. Say something like you say, cheer, like we got this, or get the next one.
Yes.
She could ask her team. I don't know who, if she plays with the same teammate all the time, or different people. But she could ask them to say, tell her teammate, when maybe not go into the whole thing that she's struggling with, but just say let's support each other if we make a mistake and just say get the next one, and then also reward each other when you have a good shot, that kind of thing.
Just
be able to smile. She's probably not doing much smiling. So those are some ideas there. It'd be good to have you work with her, and then come back on our next call and see how it's going, kind of thing. Have a set, you know, the self-fulfilling prophecy kind of thing that happens a lot with athletes. So, the good thing is we can use that same concept to have a good self-fulfilling prophecy and say, hey, it's, today I'm out here to, my self-fulfilling prophecy is to have fun and do my best and not worry about score and just see if I can, even if I one bad shot, can make the next shot a little bit better. Have Nick, you might ask, because she's a perfectionist, she'll probably say yes. But to be able to say it's nobody's perfect. It's okay to have medium good shots, medium shots, and mistakes are okay, because we can. The questions I ask people, instead of saying why, she probably does a lot of why questions, those negative questions. Why does this always happen to me? Why am I such an idiot? And why is it so difficult? Or why am I falling backwards? When you ask the why questions, then it tends to, you tend to beat yourself up more and say, I suck, like she doesn't. And go backwards kind of thing and do this overthinking, overanalyzing. But if she can ask what I call what or how questions, I call them positive action questions, that start with what or how, then that can help you to move forward. Questions like, okay, what's good about this situation? At first, you might not be able to say nothing's good about this, but she might be able to find one thing, or you can help her give an example. What's good about this situation? Well, I can learn how to bounce back, or I can look at my shot and see what happened here, or I can learn to let go and to relax. And it's asking what's good about this situation, and then asking another question like, how can I use this to my advantage? How can I use this situation to my advantage? And there's always something you can do, like maybe move forward when it's a tough, to say, okay, it's only the beginning of the game. I've still got lots more points to go, or I can learn to relax a little bit more. Something that can help, and then you can ask also, what can I learn from this situation? There's always learning, and maybe think of two or three things that you can learn from this situation. Oh, you could ask it in the moment there or after the game kind of thing. And she can, you know, obviously she's learning a lot about herself, but you maybe learn to switch the channel. So, and I think of it like a radio. So yeah, if you can ask her to ask questions that start with instead of why, ask what or how, what's good about this situation, how can I use this to my advantage, what can I learn, and what's the next step. And maybe use the kind of radio analogy, like that there's a channel. She's kind of on the I suck channel right now, right?
Yeah.
The K-suck channel. be able to turn that, you know, which is one voice or one channel that's coming through real loud and clear. But imagine that you can just push a button with your finger and just change the channel to another channel and ask her what channel would she like to change to. Maybe use her name, if it's Mary, you know, the Mary Plays Well channel or something, use something go to something that is really helpful and change to that channel where she's just saying positive self statements, power word statements to herself. And be able to change it. So, and then lower with the volume, just like a radio, where the volume is real high on this negative channel, be able to turn down the volume on that and just say, really imagine that physically, that you're picking a knob, a button on your radio. We don't have buttons anymore, or knobs, but she's 62, she knows, remembers like the old, in the cars, we used to have an actual button, knob that you turn to the left or right, maybe you still do in the car, and be able to turn down the volume on that on the negative channel and be able to change the channel over to her channel, what she wants to be thinking, how do you want to be playing, and think about that time when you were playing pickleball really well. Or if she played tennis really well, or it's kind of like ping pong too, or any of those games to focus on that. So, those are some ideas for you. Maybe you could incorporate these.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, in fact, she's a writer. She likes to journal and kind of document. So, getting her to document in the affirmative, in a more positive way, I think would be really helpful. And that part about perfectionism and her sensitivity, I think, kind of stand out right now. Just she's a very sensitive person, obviously. But I think she's so hard on herself that it really just inhibits her free flow, her peak performance that could come out. If you're holding on to every stroke or every mistake, right, how could you possibly be in the present, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, overanalyzing the mistakes. How did I mess up? Let me count the ways.
Yeah. And she, the email she sent to me just yesterday was, she said something to the effect of, you know, I'm looking forward to our meeting. I can't imagine how you're going to help me, but I'm willing to try this for 3 or 4 sessions. And I'm like, no pressure on me, right? Like I'm responsible. She's a bright woman. There's no doubt. She's articulate and bright. So at some point, like, having a little kind of process about, like, expectations and, you know, for herself and for others might be good too. So I'll kind of pick my marks on that piece.
Yeah, be able to, you know, some people, the fact that she's willing to work with you and to, to try it out is great. But I think, you know, she's probably had some really good, everyone's had good experiences in their life in other ways, other sport or other times. So to try to get at those times when she's performed well in her life, and then to see if we can, let's pick out the strengths there and transfer those into pickleball kind of thing, and make it like it's try to find, what does she want to get out of pickleball? It might be it's just fun, right?
Yeah, and I feel like she needs a plan. She needs a reset plan in the moment for how she's going to recover, like we talked about, just ground level in the moment, bad shot, recover, reset, and move forward. Something she's going to say to herself instead of the negative path she's been going down. I mean, that could be the real ground level part of it, but that will, I think that'll take motivation and discipline to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you could give her an idea if she doesn't have an idea of how to do that. You know how tennis players, after they have a bad shot, they'll walk backwards, walk away from the net and kind of play with the strings, it looks like they're adjusting the strings on their racket. You know, they're probably not adjusting the strings on the racket. They're just doing something physical, you know, but it grounds them to be able to just touch the racket and be doing something physical with their fingers and have that as a regular routine. And then they kind of come back and are ready for the next shot. So she could try something like that. They have a paddle, right? It's not a racket. A paddle that's solid to play pickleball, right? Yeah, but so there's no strings there, but you could still, walk away, walk back, and hold your paddle and just for a moment and be able to say, have a particular phrase to be ready to say. Like it's, okay, that one's done. That's behind me now. That shot, and kind of take a deep breath, and you know, let it go. You know, like imagine as you blow out, imagine you're putting that shot or that thought into a ball in front of you, and then it's a big beach ball, and then you take another deep breath and blowing it out. Now it's it's further away. Now it looks like a soccer ball, and then throw it away again, and now it looks like a golf ball, and then another breath, and it's gone, or it's out of sight completely. So that's the kind of thing you can do with letting go of the bad shot or the thoughts. So lots of things that you can do there, and that she could do. And I appreciate you bringing up that case study, Dave, because it gives us ideas about things, and I just wanted to ask, you know, with other sports too, it's and then also you could talk with her and for athletes in general. I think for all of you listening, I know it's June in Texas is working with equestrian riders and we've got Anna L. in France that's working with tennis as well. That's of you listening in on the call here, and lots of people that work with different sports. And so I think, you know, with performance errors, I think it's important to emphasize that all athletes make mistakes, and it's a natural part of learning to be competent at any activity. And since mistakes are normal, it's really helpful to help athletes to accept that errors occur in sports. And a lot of times, a lot of errors occur in sports. And so I think to be able to normalize that and say you can use the errors to train athletes both mentally and physically, and teaching them about resilience, that whole concept of resilience will help them, their ability to accept mistakes and use the errors as a way, a catalyst for optimizing your performance. So talk about that concept of resilience, you know, for your athletes, Dave, you could talk about that, and also for your track athletes, and to be able to come back and be able to tell those kinds of stories, how people come back. So if you talk about resilience, you can say, you know, it's it really is a key to overcoming mistakes and performance errors, and it's just the resilience is the ability to stay composed and confidence and calm and, you know, consistent in the face of errors. So being able to just, we see in, say, tennis and, you know, some of the, and in track and field, some of the greatest athletes in the world have come back from really difficult mistakes or errors and come back from that. And so a resilient athlete is that one that can let go of errors and return to the present, and you use it as an opportunity to learn and improve and to not dwell on the mistake. I know it's really easy to dwell on that mistake, but when you do that, it makes you unable to stay in the present, and then your performance is inconsistent. But what you want to do is just, it's okay to acknowledge the error, to say, okay, this happened, and then frustrated because of it. So that just being able to say that, I think, is good. You don't want to just ignore your emotions, but say, I messed up, or here's this error, I made this error, I'm frustrated. But be able to, if you could do something physical to get rid of that anger and frustration, like making a fist, and you know, you don't want to be anything radical or hurt anyone, of course, but just something that you know, like with a pitcher that I worked with, a major league pitcher who would make a bad pitch, he'd go back to the mound and take a little stone from the ground and throw it behind him and say, that's behind me now. And just say the physical motion of throwing that rock behind and then saying that to himself, that's behind me, it just was a way to physically and mentally let go. You need something to be able to get the frustration out and mentally let go of what just happened. So even if you don't have a stone, you could just brush your hand past your thigh and say, that's behind me now. This is, that was then, this is now. And then say, you know, the pitcher would say, next pitch. Or your pickleball player can say, next serve, next shot. And I'm focusing now on the next shot, and how I can do there. And then taking maybe a couple deep breaths in between too, and just saying, I'm letting that go. Some people, and then each person's different. You can review the play, determine why the error occurred, or if you need to do something, you know, that's obvious, that just make a quick adjustment. you know, obviously, like runners, you know, your shoe comes in tight. Obviously, that's the error, and you got to get down and tie your shoe. Something easy like that, then you just do it and then move on. But in other situations, like golf, is maybe not so good to, you know, review the play right there, because then you tend to overanalyze. It's good to just, it's okay to just let it go and do that as you're walking to the next shot. Just move on look up at the trees and take a little mental vacation. But be able to focus on the next shot, strategize, like, okay, what am I going to do for the next shot? And then just execute and prepare for that play. Dave, I was just wondering about with your runners and with your, let's see, which sport are you working with in particular, with track and field?
Javelin throwers. Yep.
Yeah, so what kind of errors do you see there, or poor performances that people need to bounce back from?
So I see a lot of like footwork errors and rushing it, like kind of just grip it and rip it, like just I'm going to run up there and throw it as hard as I can versus using the technique. So like I really slow these guys down, and we're doing a slow build up each week and increasing the speed and the distance up until we throw to kind of be more calculated. And by doing that, right, I'm asking them to be more mindful in the moment, right, and to use the breathing technique before, like, they step up, and it's like 3 to 4 deep breaths through the nose, right, feel the chest rise, because they're nervous, but even though they won't admit it, they're nervous. And so just asking them to just get in there, ground themselves, you know, 3 or 4 breaths. And then one of the girls said, oh, I'm just, when I close my eyes, I'm visualizing that I'm going to throw. Like, great. Right. So some are just kind of taken naturally to it, which is awesome. And the parents are noticing it too, which is a nice little boon as well. Like, hey, she seems so much more calm when she steps up to throw. It's like, yeah, because she's following the path we're talking about.
More calm when she just steps up and throws?
Yeah, when she steps up to the run, when they get in the runway, it's about 30 to 60 feet as far as their run-up goes. And so they'll stand at the end of the runway, and I saw her close her eyes, take 4 breaths, and then she opened up, and she was like activated, and then she just came right down the runway. And at one point she told me, I had goosebumps after the throw. Great, right? So there's like an electrified kind of energy she was given to herself through those 3 or 4 breaths, and the visualization just kind of activated to right there in the moment. So
yeah,
that's one of 2 girls who can really pull it off. The girls seem a little calmer these days. The guys are a little more, you know, they want to really just get up there and throw far no matter what. But I have to kind of slow them down too, just to the breathing exercise before they even go on the runway. And that takes some doing, because these guys are pretty amped up.
Yeah, I know. And I probably think some athletes think, oh, if I take some deep breaths, slow down, that's going to take away my energy and, you know, get me out of my rhythm. But it's a matter of fine-tuning, right? You just can sometimes, you know, being too amped up is not a good thing. And
yeah.
And when you close your eyes like that right before, then often it allows you to see a clearer picture of what you want to do that quick little visualization.
Yeah, and to feel your body for that moment. I mean, I had 2 throws in college where I actually closed my eyes. I was relaxed, but I was also amped, right? I could feel my heartbeat. Right. And then it was just like, go. But I don't remember the throw. And I think I was in like peak flow. I was there. But I don't remember the throw. It just went a long way. But that feeling of my heartbeat, right, just I could feel it kind of raising as I was getting ready to go and visualizing, because I had some training back then too with Dr. Betty Wentz. So, yeah, that was a good experience, and one I can give to these guys now too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. and sometimes it's good to So that's good. You have those experiences from doing that. Were you, you did javelin, focused on that yourself as an athlete?
Yeah, I was a javelin thrower, and we had some of the sports psychologists come out to our school, and some of them were related to the Olympic program. So I kind of lucked out that it was just that school that had those those trainers or the coaches, and some of the sports psychologists came out too. I just was very lucky.
Yeah, yeah. It's just there's so many good techniques, so that's great when you can tell your own stories. I encourage all of you to be able to relate your own stories as an athlete when you've made mistakes yourself and how you recovered from those. Poor performances, same kind of thing, and I tell people my Ironman story and how I was swam the 2.4 miles and bicycled 112 miles and got off the bike, and I was ready to quit. I just was in a really bad performance slump, and then with 100 degree temperature, 90% humidity, and I'm looking at running a 26 mile marathon to having to run, and I was ready to quit literally right at that moment. And then another woman passed me who said, I'd beaten in several other races. And she said, hey, Dahlkender, you're walking. What is this, the new you? Hey, break a leg. And was laughing at me and making fun of me, which was actually really the best thing that could have happened because I got really angry. And then I visualized the time, realized from my sports psychology training, you can go to a time in your mind when you felt really good and when you were strong. So I visualized being in the San Francisco Marathon 2 years earlier when I won that race, and how it was smooth, and the weather was cool, and I felt good and strong. And so that visualization, if you can have people go to a time right when they are perform their best at that moment, that can really empower your body. And then I felt like I was no longer walking. I was actually running. I started on 19th place in the marathon, and with that visualization, the momentum just kept building and building until I was able to get to 10th place and 5th place and 3rd place. And then there was ahead of me was Kathleen, the previous race winner, and yeah, she was. I was coming up on her. My ABC Wide World of Sports had helicopters on each of the lead women covering the race, and I didn't know where I was, but how far ahead. But my helicopter was really moving in on her helicopter from ABC Wide World of Sports, so I knew I was catching up to her. And it was just a really great moment. It's just an example of. If I'm able to run a race of my life just based on a visualization there. So that was a poor performance that turned into the best race of my life. And we've all had experiences like that where we've recovered from something. So that would be good, like with your pickleball player too, Dave, to ask her, can you think of a time when you recovered from something, made a mistake or a bad performance or something, and you did recover. I'm sure she's got something, maybe not a pickleball, but something else that she could, if she has a child where child, fell down and, you're able to help that child recover from something, or, just being able to think of times when you could recover. Is giving your own stories and then have your athletes pinpoint that in their lives, and then what qualities do they have that allowed them to recover quickly, to be resilient. And they can use those same qualities, those same techniques, same skills in right now in any situation, in their toughest situations here. So, it's good. Stories are so are really powerful there to show that you've been through tough times, too, and that you can get through it. There's a good quote that I wanted to that helps. It's good for athletes who beat themselves up over mistakes and struggle to let go of bad performances. It's unknown by the author was not known, but it's the quote is, don't place your mistakes on your head. Their weight may crush you. Instead, place them under your feet and use them as a platform to view your horizons. So it's the idea there is that we have this negative voices going on in our head. We can get crushed by the weight of their negativity and self-criticism. So like with your woman with the pickleball, it's that way, and javelin throwers and athletes of any sport, is that self-criticism and worry. And our performances can plummet as a result of, it can really go downhill when we are concerned about the past mistakes. But if you can use your mistakes as a platform for growth, so the idea of, from that, like with that quote, moving the mistakes from our heads, they're stuck in our head, but imagine physically moving that mistake to under your feet, almost like tree roots, from which we can grow and reach our potential. And then that way you view the mistakes this way, like as something to learn from. And the mistakes become our teachers, and mistakes become our coaches, intent on making us better rather than breaking us down. So if we can let go of those past mistakes, view them as a foundation for growth and say, because of that mistake, here is where I am able to move to today. So, like Michael Jordan said, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I missed 9,000 shots. I mean, I've lost almost, isn't that amazing? I've lost almost 300 games. He said 26 times I've been trusted to take the game winning shot and missed, with that final shot. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. So, here's Michael Jordan saying that, one of the best basketball players ever. And he said, after a poor mistake, here's some of the things he suggests is give yourself a set amount of worry time or berating time or, negative thinking, whatever you want to call it, but just a specific amount of time. Say, give yourself, and then give yourself a cue when you will stop, like 10 minutes, and then say, okay, 10 minutes, I'm going to think about that, or it could be 1 minute, and then just stick to that, and then give yourself a cue, like snap your fingers or something at the end of that time. And then think of the top three lessons you learned from your performance. So not just what's the learning, but ask yourself maybe three things that you could learn. Maybe you discovered an error in your form or your pacing, or maybe you didn't have a game plan for handling your opponent's strategy, or write down what you're taking away from and how you'll address it next time. And then the other thing is just to run through a full visualization of the performance in your head. So what you want to do this next time, the whole thing from start to finish, and maybe do it two or three times, and do it exactly how you want it to go. And avoid rehearsing the error, because that's what we usually do, is let that, rehearsing that, but you want to rehearse what you do want. I say play a new movie in your mind. You be the director and play that new movie. And just use the bad days or the bad shots, let that become a platform for your growth. You stand on that and let that, spring off from that. It's perfect for you with the javelin, Dave, because people are kind of springing off when they're running, and your mistakes are behind you, but they're kind of a platform for you for your growth and moving forward, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, these guys, they're very good at the reset. Most of the throwers are good at resetting, and they'll walk over after the throw with their javelin hand, and we'll just kind of break down, like, okay, you make this correction, right? Do the breathing and visualization, and you're good to go. And then I send them off. Not flooding them, but just giving them the right amount. And they'll leave the last throw, behind them, and they'll just move forward. And that's just part of my routine. Like, even during practice, bad throw, all right, go grab the javelin right away, come back, and we reset and do it again correctly until it happens correctly. So that could take two or three throws, but that's how I'm training them to look at at mistakes or struggles is a reset moment.
Yeah, right. So, right after a bad throw, you reset, go back and do it correctly.
Yep.
So that you've got that set in your mind kind of thing. It's exactly the same with golfers, same thing. If they had a bad shot, I work with them to go back and take another swing the correct swing, the way you'd like to do it, and then walk on to the next hole. Same thing with tennis. You can practice a good serve. If it's out of bounds or something, then you swing and do a good serve. With June was in Texas with horses, if you got they missed a jump, you go back and do it again. So each sport has its way of resetting, I think. It's just important to be able to get our minds in the right place and say, all we're really doing is just moving forward. And the most important thing is just thinking about a mindset of improving, even if you're not improving right at that moment, but a mindset that I'm moving forward, moving toward improving and learning from each experience and being able to kind of stand on that experience. So great. Yeah, good talking with you, Dave, and with all of you. And it's always such an honor to share experiences here. If you have suggestions for topics that you want me to cover, too, on our next calls, just send me an email with that, too. And, excited for David, for your pickleball player. I hope she does well there, too, and you can give us an update on that. I'll let you know if I'm going to do a call next week, the 29th. It happens to be a fifth Friday of the month. And then the next one after that would be the second Thursday in May, which is the 13th, May 13th. So great. I'll have this replay up shortly on the website too, that you can always access there too. Plus all the last 10 years of replays, amazing amount of wealth of information there. So great. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, David. Thanks, everyone here. And we'll
thank you.
Yeah. We'll talk next time. Sounds great. Have a great week. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, bye now. Bye.